Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You have two options. This is option number one.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, option number one. You text us at 877-282-2337 with a question, a comment, a conundrum, or snark. Or you can use your phone, option number two, to call in your neighbor as committing a hate crime. At least if you live in Washington State. Hi-yo. Washington Governor Inslee signed a bill to create a state-run hotline so residents can report hate crimes and bias incidents. We've never seen anything like that in any other fascist society. I wonder how they came up with that. Your choice. You do have options. You can exercise calling in your neighbor, reporting them as committing a hate crime, whatever that means. Or 877-282-2337.
Which is what Lance did. He texted in. And Todd, recently you talked about, this was last week's show, about listening to hymns written by non-Christian artists. And in your answer, you mentioned Horatio Spafford and that he had apothecized. I've heard this before.
Apothecized?
That's what he said.
Apostatized.
Apostatized. That's what I meant. That's what he said.
Well, sorry, I became a pharmacist. That wasn't even a dad joke, but you found it amusing. It kind of was a dad joke, though, wasn't it?
It kind of was.
That would be why you're busting a gut. All righty. So I know. I see. Here's what he's going to say, that I used the wrong name. Because, let's see, it is well with my soul. That was Horatio Spafford.
Right, right. No, well, he was just wondering if that was true. He had heard it before, but he wasn't sure if it was true.
Actually, I got an email. This is from Isaac. Actually, a number of people tagged me on this. Not that I was wrong. I'm a talk show host. Todd, you said that Horatio Spafford was apostatized in his diet. See how easy that was to do that?
I'm sorry.
It wasn't him. It wasn't he. It was Robert Robinson who wrote Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Horatio Spafford wrote the great Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. That sound, that's a lovely hymn. It's Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. The one particular line that I cited was Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It. The reason was the author, not Horatio Spafford, but Robert Robinson, was becoming a Unitarian. He was feeling like, I don't even know if God exists. And he put it into his song, and we sing it to this day. Now, you can sing that line if you're comfortable with it. I'm not. I find myself just going, no, I wouldn't even want to open a crack on that door. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the last thing that I want to do. I want to be closer to my God. I want to love my God more. And when that line comes up, I just stand there. I don't even mouth it. Just can't. I can't do it. Now, because this particular fellow, 150-60 years ago, became a pharmacist, does that mean that we can't sing that song? I think we can, because nobody's going to go to the Robert Robinson systematic theology textbook to become a Unitarian who just about got kicked out. And so I think we can sing songs from long dead heretics. But I would say this, I understand the argument that if you're going to be consistent, you shouldn't sing a song from anybody that you know is a heretic. So, for instance, one time I go to the YouTube machine. I wanted to find something. It's like, oh, that looks great. That's the type of arrangement. It looks like they have a pipe organ. So I'm singing along and it finishes, and I look at my YouTube machine, and I'm singing along with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Ah! I don't want to do that because it's Mormonism. By the way, did you see the fellow is suing the Mormon church because his gifts, he believes, went into more commercial endeavors than spiritual activities? Must have been a big giver because he says they used his money to build a shopping mall and bail out a business because the Mormons very active investors. And so he's suing them. My favorite part about the article is the response from the Mormon church. No, we did not use this man's money for those things. We used other tithes. Oh, okay. So I guess your hands are clean on that one. This is just another exposure of the Mormon church. It is a money-making machine. And I'm telling you where they're using a lot of those funds. It is on the internet. Go ahead, Google a theological subject. Go ahead, ask a religious questions. The Mormons, I would almost bet Jimmy's fortune, top five answers every single time. And when I found myself singing along with the Mormons, I was like, no. Now, if I hadn't known, no problem. But I just think that we don't need to be singing along with heretics. Thank you for correcting Jimmy. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Henry. Todd, can a born-again believer who is not baptized take part in communion?
Can you? Well, sure. Should you? I personally don't think so. Hold on a sec. Jimmy, do you have any pan flute music we could play?
Pan flute. Got some bagpipes here.
Oh, I'm back. Let's not do that. I was just reading through the Didache. It's not very long. The Christian History Institute, they have it available online for free. A Christian manual, if you will, kind of like church polity, written before 300 AD. It was not formalized and included in the canon of scripture, but it was close. There were a lot of people who thought that it should be. I got to tell you, when I read it, I go, no, no. And it's not just because of some of the theological discrepancies I would have with it. It's just, I know this sounds goofy, but I'm telling you, when the original codifiers that stated, when all branches of the Christian church said, these books, these 20-some, that's it, all in total agreement. One of the standards that they used, believe it or not, was feelings, that there's just some of these, but they don't feel like the Bible. And when I read through the Didache last night, it just doesn't feel like the Bible. And they broke this thing. The Didache contained instructions for Christian groups. It was a catechism. It had four different parts. And the first one was the two ways. You can live a godly way, the Psalm 1, the first half of Psalm 1, or you can live an ungodly way. But then it gets into church polity. And I, yeah, let not your fast be with our, they basically said that you should not be taking communion until you're baptized. That was from the Didache. Again, not scripture, but instructive. Here it is. Thanksgiving. I got it. Let no one eat or drink of your thanksgiving. That's what they called the Lord's table. Don't let anybody eat or drink of it. But they who have been baptized into the name of the Lord. For concerning this also, the Lord has said, give not that which is holy to the dogs. All right, now, they might just mean saved, baptized into the name of the Lord. And that's a Pauline way in Corinthians of saying that you are saved. You have been baptized into Jesus, immersed with him. Or it could mean getting dunked in the water. Regardless, there are some denominations that would say the first ordinance, it is baptism. And if you do not obey the first command, you should not be partaking of the second ordinance of the church, which is the Lord's table. Would I split with somebody over this? No. Do I tend to lean toward baptism first, then communion? I do. Why not? And the question that I think you should ask if you haven't been baptized is the exact same question. Why not? Why don't you want to be baptized? Why are you delaying? What is stalling? Whatever it is, it's probably a big deal because it's an obvious command. You get saved and you get baptized. That is what we are supposed to do immediately or as quickly as we can. We see that in Acts chapter 2. They heard preaching from Peter. They were convicted, cut to the heart. What must we do to be saved? They were to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and then be baptized. That is clearly what the Greek language states. That was the order. And then they were added to the church. There are some denominations who would say you can't be a member of the church until you are baptized. Because to refuse to be baptized, now, I understand circumstances, I understand timing, I get that. But if you are willfully refusing to be baptized, that's to live in a state of rebellion. That's a sin. We're commanded, get dunked. And if you're not willing to do that, you should ask, why not? And you need to sort that and you need to go address that. Is it embarrassment? Okay, then you got to repent of that too. Because Jesus never was ashamed to hang out with sinners. Why would we ever feel ashamed to be identified with him through the waters of baptism? I'm not sure that I'm actually a Christian. You definitely want to deal with that issue. So figure out why you don't want to be baptized and then find yourself a jacuzzi and get dunked. And go take communion. This is Wretched Radio.
As you know, we've been sharing with you, 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, don't have study Bibles. The amazing Masters Academy International, don't forget they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a time where the foundations of our society are crumbling. That's why we're building a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We're bringing in 8 new powerful voices to invade Christian media with the truth of God's Word. We're currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality. emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To quote or not to quote, that's my question. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send whatever to idea@wretched.org and questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337. I'm holding between my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a copy of the Didache. This was an early church catechism. How to do things in the church. It is not inspired, therefore it is not authoritative, it is merely instructive. But inside of this document, chapter 9, it actually gives the Thanksgiving prayer that is offered with what they would call Thanksgiving. We call it the Lord's table. Roman Catholic Church would call it the Eucharist because they believe that grace actually comes through the elements. This is what they prayed. And my question is, would this be something that we could pray inside of the church today? I think it is a magnificent idea to go back and find documents that are sound that we repeat today. Not just the Apostles and Nicene Creeds, catechism questions, confessional statements, so that we can remember, oh yeah, we're connected to that. There's a lot of people who don't get that sense. So what do? They run to the Catholic Church. Candace Owens! Sorry. Because they feel like, oh, this is connecting me way back. No, you're connected way back. There have been Orthodox, smaller Orthodox believers always inside of the church. And when we fail to go back, cite them, quote them, reference them, or potentially pray like them, oh, I think it's such a great loss for so many reasons, starting with that connectivity. You mean, I believe the same thing that people believed 1,800 years ago? Whoa. You're telling me that they said that creed for centuries? Whoa. I'm a part of something bigger. I think another fruit, I wouldn't use this as my sales pitch, but they were smarter and more reverential than we are. Listen to this prayer that was offered up at the Eucharist. And listen to how smart it is, how biblical it is, how not casual it is. I got to tell you, so we're going to take communion. So this is something, you know, that we've got to do. So let's just pray. God, that we're here today. And, you know, I know the people want to get out for the football game, but we're gonna take some time here to do this as quickly as we possibly can. Now, to commemorate. Stop. Amen. Duh. Those casual prayers. I once heard a worship leader after, you know, the lights are dimmed and, oh, we got the synthesizer going. This is what the worship leader, which, by the way, I think needs to be redefined. But this worship leader said, let's pray. Lord, I just don't even know what to say. Then stop praying and do some preparing. Listen to this prayer and ask yourself the question, would this be something, because it is not in any sort of ratified document of the church, but nevertheless is what was used in the early church, something that perhaps we could pray at communion time? Jimmy, give this a listen. See what you think. Father, we thank you for the Holy Vine of David, your servant, which you made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. And concerning the broken bread, we thank you, our Father, for the life and knowledge which you made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. Even as this broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forever. And then they offer a prayer after communion. And that's good praying right there.
Yeah.
And our brothers and sisters, thousands of, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, what you just heard, okay, not in English, they prayed that. Then they took the Lord's table. Whoa. If you're listening, Candace, send stuff to 877-282-2337. Jimmy, can I toss in a quick announcement?
Absolutely.
Would you like to be a part of the GPM family? This ministry is seeking a person to be in ministry with us. You say, what's with the couch language? It's not couch language. We're hiring for a position in video production, looking for somebody who can do shooting, even set up shoots, do post-production work. But that's not who we're looking for. You possess those skills, but we're looking for somebody who wants to be in ministry. That for here are the boxes that need to be checked to work at least inside of this ministry. Number one, you have a credible profession of faith. You are a born-again believer. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, you're committed to ministry. You aren't looking for a production job. You're not looking for a radio job. You don't want a TV job. You want to be in ministry. And this is what we do at the ministry. That sounds like you. Please visit wretched.org/hiring. Wretched.org/hiring. All the details are right there. Saved with a desire to be in ministry. And you know, as long as you're at wretched.org, don't forget we got the $250,000 matching gift campaign going on for our new initiative. Go learn about it. It's massive. And it's just part one. Starting to prepare for phase two. We'd love it if you'd partner with us, dollar for dollar match right now, so that we can launch this initiative and then kick phase two into gear in 2025. Can't wait to tell you about that, but we would love it if you would partner with us and then send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
You didn't tell them one of the biggest benefits to working here, working with me.
Well, that is...
That goes without saying.
But see, if we don't want to put that out publicly. If that's inside of somebody's heart, we can get biblical counseling for them and they can still work here.
All right. This comes from Steve. Todd, have there been any studies that you know about done on the long-term effects of egalitarianism?
Yeah. As the Methodists are in their conference right now.
Yeah. He's just wondering where the slippery slope leads.
Oh, it leads to LGBTQ. That's where it leads. And we've seen that. We have empirical data. It's called the ELCA. It's called the United Methodist Church. By the way, props to all of those who are still in that denomination fighting, and props to all of those who left to form a more conservative Methodist body. But the UMC, it always begins with the role of women. Always. And then it eventually moves to sexual issues. How? It's hermeneutics. If you can take a clear verse like 1 Timothy 2:12 and you can make it say the exact opposite of what it obviously says, then you can use that mechanism to take what is so clear in Scripture about sexual issues, one man, one woman, marriage, intimacy, genders, and you can make it say whatever you want to. And that's what we've seen. ELCA. With the Presbyterian Church, United States of America, not America, but United States of America, it is classic and it's definitive. Do not crack open the door. In fact, recently just received a couple of emails from people asking the question about women as worship leaders. I direct you to cbmw.org. They treat that subject in a great deal of detail. But what about women being up on the platform? It appears that they're doing some leading. Well, I would say this personally, that the worship leader, and this is why I think the term needs to be redefined, if it is a woman who is simply helping us get our cues, that's not the type of authority that I think Paul is after in 1 Timothy 2:12. That's helping us to worship the Lord. Now, if a female worship leader starts praying, starts teaching, which I don't understand why that has to happen so much these days. It's really amazing. I see this all the time, and I have to confess, I'm like, what are the creds of that worship leader? Is what sort of theological trend? Why are they talking and teaching? Play your guitar and sing the song. That's leading the worship, if you will. And that's why I would say, let's just come up with a different name for worship leader, something more along the lines of worship conductor, supporter person, something like that doesn't have that authority element to it. Now, having said all of that, so for instance, at Alpharetta Bible Church, oh, and it was so good on Sunday. The three ladies, they sang Laura's stories, some blessing. It's called Blessings. What if your blessings come in raindrops? Oh, so good. And they were up on the platform. They sang. Some people were singing along, even though they weren't supposed to. Ruining the whole thing, singing along like that. And you could say, were they exercising authority over the church? No, they were enhancing worship for the delight and the edification of the body. But that wasn't, I think, assuming a role of authority. Having said that, if you're nervous about it, I think having a male that if you're going to do the talking and the praying, I would say then that should be restricted to males. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.